This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Okay, so we're holding over here in Perek Aleph. And usually in the Sivas Olam, it's sort of each Perek has a general theme, and then he brings down Chazal around that same theme. He explains each Chazal. Sometimes it's a bit repetitive, and many times Kedarko, there's always new things and so on. So let's start. Vayoreini, vayoyma, yismach dvar libcha, may my words uphold your heart. Shmor mitzvayse vachye, keep my mitzvahs and live. So Shlomelch is trying to tell people to keep Torah. The Oma Kashasa tell Adam, Oma, Oma Shemzoch Adam Yismach Dvar Libcha. So he's putting in Hashem's mouth the words that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Adam, he told him, may my words support your heart. Klaima. HaTorah Shidiva Hashem Yisparach Yitmach Libcha. Kileva Adam Shemachayim. So holding up your heart, it's dafka the heart, because the heart is where the chiyus is. VaTorah Tachzik Libcha V'Tinucha Chayim Tishma Tzvayse V'Chiyay. Torah will uphold your heart, that'll give you chiyus, and you'll keep my mitzvahs. Kidivre Torah Toimchim U'Ma'ashrim Kol Olam Kulay. V'Echli U'Ma'ashrim Nasarim Atzma Shoyze B'Torah V'Yim Adam. And he says this is an extension from the fact that Torah keeps the whole world, upholds them, and so on. What does that mean exactly? And it's a very nice melitza. Torah gives life. Torah gives happiness. Torah gives joy. Torah gives goodness. You can keep saying all as much as you want. It's all that's going to be right. Kind of. It means a very specific point, and this is the next paragraph. What does it mean? The word tomech is a support. In other words, you uphold, you support something. It says in Vayeh Vayvoke Yoyim Hashishi, Loima, ki kol my sebrachus or Yitluim Vayimdim Hashishi B'Sivan. It was as if saying the entire world, the entire Bria till now is on hold until Shishi B'Sivan comes, till Devat and Torah. In Kav Yisrael HaTorah Mutav, Vim Lav Yachzor HaTorah Vohu. If Kaisel is Mekav HaTorah, good. If not, the world goes back to being Tohu Vavohu. Vim Kain, Divrei HaTorah Mechaskim Torah HaKol. So it means Torah upholds everything. Ad Sheyesh LeOlam Kiyum. Why? V'chol Zeh, Neki HaTorah HiSeder Adam. V'Eisem Maisi Yanoig, V'Ech Yanoig, V'Ech Yimusir Maisov. V'Zeh Yin HaTorah. So let's talk about this point and let's understand what it means. It's a term that he uses many times, and it's important to understand the term correctly. He says many times that Torah is the Seder HaOlam, Seder HaAdam. The word Seder comes in again and again. So imagine if I'm a scrap metal collector. So if I'm a scrap metal collector, I have a little truck. I go around, I pick up odds and ends that are in all sorts of, in all sorts of trash bins. So I come back, I have a big box with random pieces. So can I make any Seder out of it? The answer is not really. I can make the pieces from bigger to small. I can make the pieces from different metals. I can organize it. But that's about it. There's no Seder whatsoever. A type of situation that has no Seder is called Tohu Vavohu. It means each piece is on its own. And so if someone asks me, what do you have in that truck, I can say 5,000 pieces of assorted metal trash. That's about all I can say. Let's say, on the other hand, I manufacture, kits, manufacture cars. You can buy this kit in my place. You can assemble it in your house, and you will have a car. So a person gets a met it gets a big box with 5,000 pieces of metal and instructions how to put together, and you can have a car out of it. So a few things jump out. First of all, I don't I can say I have 5,000 pieces of metal, but a better way of saying it is I have a car waiting to be assembled. I have one thing, I have a car, and it's waiting to be assembled. Each piece can be numbered and labeled in a way that explains its relationship to the others. This is the piece that gets screwed into the front. This is the piece that has to be in the back, and so on. So the Seder is a result of there being a unifying idea, and the Seder is the result of this unifying idea. I don't know. I mean, when you take like trigonometry, you have a graph, and you start with a certain point of origin. That's the zero point. And everything gets labeled in a relationship to that. This is plus five, comma four. This is minus two, comma three. Once I have a clear overarching structure, each piece gets a label. So in the first model, there is no overarching structure, and therefore each piece is on its own. That's called appropriately a tohu va-vohu, and there is no Seder. The other model, I have an overarching structure. It makes everything become one, and each piece is part of a Seder, and I can label it based on where it belongs in it. So if you look at the world around, the world is really a trillion different entities. Plants and trees and people and fungus and stones and water, and no real rhyme or reason. And therefore, this would be called appropriately tohu va-vohu. The fact that they happen to be trees is wonderful, but there's no rhyme or reason. It's just a lot of stuff. It's like, and if you see when you have a little kid and they keep stuff in the drawer and you look at it, you open up, and what always is amusing is that there's no rhyme or reason. He found a nickel somewhere that he thought was cute, and he has the nickel, and maybe a snail that he found someplace, and maybe he took his sister's toy and put it in also. It's zero shaykhs one with another. When you have some sort of structure that puts it together, that's it gives it meaning. So
The world does interact with each other in a way that is does have Seder.
correct. It's a hidden Seder. It's correct. You're right 100%. What one of the fascinating parts of the world is that they realize now how tied things are one to another. But I'll be sure, in other words, we have no looking at it, there's no reason why we can't do it at this, so do it twice as much as this. So the world is just tohu va-vohu in a meaningful sense. Then let's go back. You know what? Let's go back to the junk muscle, as Freud said. When I have a lot of pieces of junk in my box, they also interact. Gravity has an effect on each other, friction of one piece on another, but I can't say it's a purposeful interaction. I can't say there's a tachlis to it. So the world was tachlis-less. It had no tachlis until there was a moment of bria, Vav Sivan, until Shavuos came along, Torah is meant to organize the world in a way that something is realized. Torah is ki'ilu, this is the tachlis of the world. So this is, these plants are meant to be given as maisers. This is meant to be used to this. This is meant to be grown without kalayim. Whatever it is, there's a sort of big picture which says that everything has to fit into it. So Torah being the Seder Olam means it's sort of by telling me what should be and what shouldn't be and where and when and how, we're able to give meaning to the entire structure. So he says, so to say that the whole world, and that's the sense in which it's appropriate to say that HaKadosh Baruch, that Torah is tomech in the entire world. It supports the entire structure of the world because the world has no real meaning. It exists, but it's not going anywhere. It's not, there's no tachlis to it. So when it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mabit Torah Baris Olamai, it's exactly like the point that we said before about a guy making a cause. So let's say I have this kit where I want to produce a car. So I want to make cars that you can take in your house and assemble them. So I start with the picture. What does the car look like when it's finished? And based on that, I put the pieces out. So I need such and such a pieces and such a screws and so on. That's the Pshat Yisakal Raisabar Alma. The world is done, the world is created to fit the fulfillment of Torah, to make a place where in which a context in which Torah is meaningful.
Well, but what was Torah, meaning a lot of the mitzvahs are obviously mitzvahs that are tied in to a world. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked in Torah to create the world, right, he couldn't say, so what was that? What was it that there was before him?
So the Maharal speaks about it. He says it in a different context, but what you're saying is a point that he makes exactly in Teferis, in Gimel and Dalet. He says the following. It says, on the one hand, we have an animamin that says Sater Loite Muchlefes and so on. Torah is forever eternal and so on. On the other hand, it says Chazal that Kol HaMitzvos Asid, Kol HaMoadim Asid LeBotel, and except for Purim and Yom Kippur, and other places where it says there's a Shaila Mesim, if you bury a mace with Begodim, with Kalayim or Tzitzis, Lassid Lover, will there be mitzvahs, will not be mitzvahs? There seem different places where it's mashma kilu mitzvahs will become bottle. So how do you understand that in terms of what we said now? So the Maharal says as follows. He says, Torah can't become bottle, mitzvahs can become bottle. And what it means is like this. When we talk of the word Torah, the point that you're raising, it's an abstract understanding of right and wrong. Its practical manifestation is in the form of the mitzvahs as they're given to us. But the idea goes beyond it. So Lamashal, let's say I talk about magnetism. And yes, and what is magnetism? And I show you a magnet with a piece of metal and it attracts it. Now, sometimes a magnet can become ice magnet. If you shake it, you heat it. There are different things that make the magnets non-magnetic. So this particular magnet is no longer magnetic, but but magnetism still exists. It doesn't exist in the context of this piece of metal, but it exists. And a different piece of metal expresses magnetism, manifests magnetism. The same thing is true when Le Marshall, many things that I have the idea of it, and the expression of it. Let's take another mushroom. Gratitude is universal. But in one country, the gratitude is buying a dozen roses. In one country, gratitude is bowing very politely. And one another country, it's writing a note. Another country, it's this. So does gratitude exist universally? The answer is yes. Are the specific actions expressions universal? The answer is no. So the same thing is true when we talk of Torah as opposed to mitzvahs. Torah refers to the ideal. It refers to the abstract understanding. And mitzvahs are the particular expressions that are relevant today. So in the context of our world, until La'asid Lavoi, mitzvahs will not be called, and anyone who does is wrong. But when La'asid Lavoi will become batal, it's not any different than, it doesn't mean the Torah changes. The way of expressing it changes. So Torah are those particular values or ideals that HaKadosh Baruch had in mind. It's chachma, and therefore it can take on different practical formats.
Is there, this is probably a hard question, but is there a way to define in some way that we live in this world? So in context of Torah or the single, if you could point to a single purpose, very hard to boil it down. I don't know if that's even possible.
You know what? A small example of it, where I think you can detect a feel for it. You have the musig of lifnei mishuras hadin, hider mitzvah, things of that nature, minhag Yisrael kadosh, things that are not real halacha, and yet there's an instinctive sense that it's right, it's appropriate. It falls under the rubric of what the Torah wants. And Marshall, let's take something. Let's take an example. The Shabbos. So you have Hilchos Shabbos, plenty of Hilchos Shabbos, Asur Mutar Zozov. You also have a feel, you'll say, this is not Shabbostik, this is Shabbostik, even though you'd have a very, very hard time putting it into any halacha category. And so what is it? Is it a figment of imagination, or is there something to it? And we have the klal. It's very interesting in terms of minhagim. So actually, Reb Yehuda Chassitz Tzavah. So the Nei Reb Yehuda goes to town that anything that's not mentioned in the Gemara is meaningless and shouldn't pay any attention to it. But he says Reb Yehuda Chassitz is a very big guy and tzaddik, so probably everything has some reason why it should, but basically his point is, if it doesn't say in the Gemara, then there's nothing exists that's not in the Talmudim. The Divrei Chaim is a little upset. And he also, you know, obviously there are things there that are a character or whatever, it's weird, but he says his shita is, anything that Klal Yisrael has accepted and stays with, one shouldn't veer from. And he uses the phrase Hanachlan Yisrael im Einam Nevi'im, B'nei Nevi'im, the Gemara. So there's a certain point that Torah has in itself more than the mitzvahs were given. What is binding absolutely are those mitzvahs. There's no way around those mitzvahs. But a person can introduce other elements of avodah, periphery elements, in keeping with the fact that there is more to it. That's sort of the idea of it. That's where we see a practical manifestation of it. So Torah, when we refer to Torah in the sense that we refer over here, and that's what Yisdaka Bais Rabbah means, because Baruch Hu made the world in layers. He first set down what is Kavan and Ratzon is, what are the ideas and ideals he wants? And then he produced, and then there was mitzvahs given to us that were specific ways to manifest this world. So he built a world which could realize this. It's just like the muscle, if you're giving a lecture on something and you want to explain something, so you're going to look for materials and construct something so that it realizes it's what you want. Let's take another muscle. Imagine somebody has a certain house that he wants. So he draws plans for the house he wants. Someone else says, I think there's a market for high-end mansions in this place. So he tells the architect, draw, give me a 5 blocks of high-end mansions. There could be many ways in which it'll take shape. His point is, I want it to appeal to very wealthy people. So the specifics are la bedafka. Once you draw the plans and you got your permits and the guy's building, he's got to stick to that. And at that point, you know, if he decides to switch in the middle of his building and he wants something else, we're going to have a lot of issues. But Kolzman, it's in that stage of the idea. So Torah is an idea at a certain level. And when it crossed into the world of mitzvahs, that's when the Maral says this, fascinating. He says this, it says, Olma Adam Bivatl except for Purim and Lasid Lava except for Purim and Yom Kippur. So he says, the Lasid Lava means after Tchias HaMeisim. The only two mitzvahs, the only two Mo'adim that have a post Tchias HaMeisim that could feel to them is Purim and Yom Kippur. Purim, there was a gzera of Lashma Haruk, was Nigzar, and we were saved. It was from Misa Techayim. In Yom Kippur, person is Nigzar, Chas HaShalom, whatever, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives him, and he goes out L'Chayim. So that's that type of Inyan is Shayach to Achros HaYomim. So those particular mitzvahs are, or the idea of those mitzvahs, however you want to call it. I guess many people feel good that they'll be Purim at Lasid Lava, that they'll...
I don't think it'll be our reiteration of Purim. Find that hard to believe. I don't know.
That's probable. Okay. So, V'zesha me'medrish shaymabit b'teir bari lamay v'tzuleyma sh'teir b'atzmi seder kol. So, Torah is a seder. I want to add one more piece to this that I think is important. When we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with Chachma, or with Seder, like he says, what does that mean? You know, for me, to design a building, I need to have Chachma, and Chachma is the only way in which I can design a building. I need to put down blueprints, and that's the only way I could have a building. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't speak of his Chachma. When we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world with Chachma, we don't compliment HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chachma. That's too Chris. We don't believe, like Ram says, that we can divorce the Chachma from himself. Because Baruch Hu is. He doesn't possess Chachma, he is. What it means that Baruch Hu will do Chachma means as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have created the world where there is no, what's the word for it? No connection, logical progression, no laws of nature. Imagine there's no laws of nature. I throw up a ball in the air. Where does it land? Wherever Hashem wants it to land. Whatever I do, I strike a match. What happens? Whatever Hashem feels at that moment should happen. I could freeze the room. I could burn the room. I could make the room wet. Who knows? Chachma means that things have clear structure and clear laws. B'chachma Yisrael Eretz means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into place a layer of chachma. It's true physically. That's why the laws of nature are so strong and so dominant. You can't get away from it. It's in my mind, it's one of the strongest, I hate using the word proofs, but one of the strongest is bainus. Things that we're familiar with, how sturdy is the table? Sometimes more sturdy, sometimes less sturdy, sometimes this, sometimes that. everything that we're familiar with is sometimes yes, sometimes not, sometimes a little something more. The laws of nature, light always goes at that speed, period. Gravity always goes at period. Gravity never has a day off, or sometimes it's just too lazy and doesn't feel like schlepping everything down. There's no, the indestructibility of it and the absolute chechreach, it's like 2 and 2 will always equal 4. No matter what happens, 2 and 2 is going to equal 4, unless you have a creative accountant. But other than that, it doesn't change. So here also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world b'chachma means the infrastructure is chachma, and things have a very clear mahalach.
Is that the reason? Meaning, is the understanding of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in this way? Not that we could know, I guess, but is the reason so that we have that understanding? Meaning, and if it wasn't so tied together, then we wouldn't be able to see it.
Because 100%, the fact that we can sit and learn Torah, the Muslims, Lahavel Pavdalis, they feel themselves they're more from than us. And one of their issues is Torah. In other words, you're telling me why, what, when, and how, all these chachmas and all this stuff. That's taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu down a notch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does what he feels like doing. It's the same, it's a projection of their mindset. You know, by them acting on whim is a maila. The big man, the big sheikh, he does things because he wants to. I want to kill this person because I think it's right. And that's it. And the idea that there's laws and you can argue the points and back and forth seems a travesty to them. If you're the big man, then you knock off heads. You can plead for mercy, and then you can get him to think that now his mood can change. It's all about moods, and that's all there is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Chachma to work, and that's why we can understand mitzvahs. We can mefalpa mitzvahs. We can say if A is true, then B must be true, and it works. The olam mitzvahs, the olam of halacha works with seichel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's the first layer of creation is chachma, and everything comes of chachma. Means HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to be shutfim through the world of chachma.
Why? I'm sorry to interrupt.
No. Yeah, we're learning together. Yeah.
Is that the understanding? Because it's really counter. I always felt that it was counterintuitive that we always say, the Rishonim say, that when it comes to Nisim, except for the ones that are Remaisiv Bereishis or some other, even those, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides them as much as he can always in nature. And one would think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show his yads in the world to strengthen Imun and B'tachin, he would say, other rabbi, I will show you magic. You know, a hand reaches down, Kilu. But rather that he hides everything, is that an outgrowth of the fact that Memelo the world was created, or even afterwards, the fact that the first layer is, or that he created the world with Chachma, and that's how we interact in the world. He wants that should somehow continue along those lines, Ayyudin Nisim.
Well, I think I said before, right? A world that runs with Chachma and is consistent with Chachma allows me to get a tefisa and a grasp in it. That allows me to be a partner. If my sense of things is it's only that, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets out of the picture, then basically it's me without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just him, if it's just Nisim every moment, so I'm not a partner to it. I'm a recipient. So the way in which it's structured allows for both. The fact that the world, from a certain point to a certain point, is bechachma, allows me to be a shutif in that, and I, by my understanding it, my tefis in it, I'm a partner. On the other hand, if I think behind the Chachma, so yes, I have a big science book and I have all the laws of nature mapped out and how they work, and I can predict what will happen. That's wonderful. So I understand something about the world, but who put those laws of nature into play and why are they so immutable and all of that? That's Shaykh. That means that I have that I have a Kadosh Baruch Hu behind it. It's all of that. Because Torah is a seder of the world, and everything in the world comes via the Torah. In other words, it's an expression of some element of it. It means everything is bound together the way the Torah is. Torah is one unit. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon expressed in a certain way. So he's bothered over here, Basar Mamaris Nivra Olam, and it says that Ki'ilu, the Akash Baruch could have created the world with one Maima, but he created with 10. So he says the Pshat is not that Akash Baruch wasted Mamorim just in order, you know, to give me more schar. That's silly. So give more schar for the one mime, right? In other words, what's up the rate per hour, and then we have the same amount of schar. What does it mean? So aval pirushu ki mispasar moral davishesh be ribu ivu kal echad mekusha kachem asar ki ates mispas pratish echad mechuluk atzmoi avasar mispas kolish akol echad mekusha. So this is a point, this is a Yisayid that Mal says many places, use it many places, and we'll explain what that is. There are three possibilities of how the world could have been made. One Maimer means it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, and that's it. If I cannot break up something into smaller units, I can never understand it. The way in which we understand things, so how does a car work? Well, a car goes places. How does it work? If I can't break it down into more and more elements, then there's no Havana Seichel. Havana means understanding the breakdown. That's what Havana means. So I explain to you, this is the engine, this is the transmission, these are the wheels, this is that. And so on. So one maima would mean a world that is purely kus, with no tfisa possible of through chachma. Just one second. That's my grandson.
Is my car been found? Just give me. Oh, that's not him. Okay.
Just waiting. My grandson is supposed to probably call about 10 minutes. So there's no. There's no Havana, no Tfisa, nothing. On the other hand, if I create something that has 7, 8, 9, any number tells me many pieces. It's like the muscle we had before about the junkyard. It tells me I have a box with a lot of pieces of junk, nothing else. Also not good. The 10 is a unique number in the sense that on the one hand, it's 10 different pieces. So you have the different pieces. On the other hand, the 10 also comes together and it becomes one 10 unit. It becomes a cheftz of 10. So in the number 10, you have both types of inyanim coming out. You have the ribuy, and you have the eventual echot. That's the number 10. So HaKadosh Baruch created the world with Asar Ma'amaris, and he could have created with one. It means so like going back to the marshal with the car, the assembly, I could sell you a car, the same thing I could sell you pre-assembled, and you have a car, or I can sell you all the pieces. If what I did was I started with a car and I disassembled it and I shipped it to you, you should be able to assemble it because you know, you have all the pieces that came. All these pieces are the parts of a car. They're not parts where you couldn't make a car with them. They are the parts of a car. So is the havam, that's ki'ilu the car, that's ki'ilu the idea of the car, and then the pieces are the 10 units that fall out of it.
Is it the number 10 is considered the first unit because it's the most number that's most easily used throughout, or it's just
so that's well, the standard universal counting is 10 based. The reason is because we have 10 fingers. It's easier to count 10 fingers, and I guess toes were not so considered so elegant to count on, so we have the fingers. But how goofy. HaKadosh Baruch created us in a way where our natural counting would be that. So we can use that and sort of say that, and that's our service. The 10, the number 10 always represents a klal. 10 people in order to daven. Eda, Arazo, is the Eda is 10. So you always have a base. 10 is always what forms a unit that is a bigger unit. It's the pieces that come together. So if I have 3 people, 4 people, 5 people, 6 people, I have many people. When I have 10 people, I have a minion. A kehillah, an eder. That's the what happens. V'lachein is avasara mispar kol shekol echad mikusha. V'lachein hayud meir al mispasara. That's why the letter yud is specifically is in the gematrius of the letters. It's 10. Ki hayudik tana atchein lach lo hayud l'shtan katnusik min echad. It's one indivisible. In other words, halachically, a yud can be as small as you want. It does not have any. So 10 is means something which could be indivisible. It's indivisible by itself. Kiseru matoy shesereh legamri katoy echas. Kashadovu mikusha mesuri yachad, im echod yoitzman aseda, dovazehu bitla seda lakoil. So, v'chein kashem mekayimus teru echadu kimakoil. So, the marshal, if I have, going back to the example of the junk. So, if one guy comes back to the junkyard with 5,000 pieces of metal junk, and one guy comes back with 4,999 pieces of junk. So the difference is 1 out of 5,000. It's commodity relevant. But if I have a car that I received a kit to build a car and it's missing one piece, then I'm missing the car. I'm not missing one piece, I'm missing the car. So the difference between a world that was created by Suramamaris or any, that's the pshat, that's the oimik of pshat in Chazal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created world one maimer. He created with Suramamaris. That tells me that it's one unit. And if I'm missing even one of them, then I'm missing everything. It's because to get to the 10, each one is critical, it's crucial. So he says, So sometimes you have something that is many but doesn't come together. Like for instance, when you water a field, many crops grow. So if the world would become one mind and you have many pieces, I would say these are all sparks that kind of central location, but not part of a package. So for each and every affair you do, you better mach the whole world. So the point of creating the world this way means that each and every maimer is of supreme importance, as if it's everything.
Right, but doesn't leave any room for the middle. So if a person is one off, so that's a mizrasha.
So,
this is an abstract idea. I get it.
So I would rephrase it a little bit. What you're saying is true if a person rejects a mitzvah. The halacha is if a person says, "Taryab mitzvahs are binding, except for one mitzvah that's not binding," the person is not a ger, he's not bikaris, and so on. We at least subscribe to 600. We subscribe to all of it. We do better, the worst. So our shleimus is depends on more or less, but at least it's not by lack of subscribing to it. It's just we have the sternos. Okay, good. We'll hold it here.
All right.